The scripture reading this morning is Romans 12, 9 through 21. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Brian. Well, good morning. Good to be here. Well, I first met my wife, Debbie, back in high school. It was in trigonometry class, and we both like to sit in the back of the room, so it's just kind of odd that we find ourselves all the way in the front of this room. But back in the back of that room, we became fast friends. I helped her with trigonometry, and she helped me pass the time in the classroom. Yeah. Yeah, we actually didn't start dating until a year later. She was a year ahead of me, actually, and so she went away into the local college, and I was a senior in high school, and so I was dating a college girl, so I was pretty cool at that time. I remember our first date. We went out on a movie, and because movies, you don't really get to interact much. We went back to her house and sat in her driveway with the radio playing 80s hits, and we spent hours just talking together. And it wasn't long before we fell in love. Yep, head over heels, smitten, butterflies running around in our hearts. And believe it or not, that was 38 years ago. And it's been wonderful. You know, when I think back to those early days of falling in love with Debbie, we knew a lot about the emotions, the feelings of what it means to be in love. But that's kind of all we knew. We didn't know what love looked like in action. We didn't know what it looked like in action. As we approach our passage this morning, we're going to find out what love looks like in action, what it looks like in action. And we're going to see that for those who have been loved by Jesus, they are able to genuinely love both their friends and their enemies. You know, this idea of genuine love, yes, it does incorporate our feelings, our emotions, but there's so many more dimensions to it. And as we look at the passage, we're going to unpack many of these dimensions. Debbie and I, we've spent the last 34 years of our marriage just unpacking, learning about these dimensions of love. And so to place us in this book of Romans, again, just to recap, the first 11 chapters, Paul has been teaching us about the gospel. What is the gospel? What is this message of grace? And now with chapter 12, through the rest of the book, he's going to be teaching us how to live out the gospel. And in last week's passage, we learned about how we encountered the goodness of grace of God. It's through the people of God. And when we lean into the people of God, we encounter the goodness of grace in Jesus there. And we experience more of his grace when we use our gifts. Now, this passage that we're looking at this morning breaks up into two different sections. The first few verses are about what love looks like inside of the church, inside of the body of Christ. I'm going to call that loving our friends. And then in verses 14 through 21, those verses are about what love looks like when things aren't going so well, when you're not treated well. And I'm going to call that section loving our enemies. So let's look firstly at verse 9 and see what it looks like to love our friends. It says, let love be genuine. Let love be genuine, meaning authentic. Let it be real. Let it be sincere. Let it be without hypocrisy. And in saying this, it means that there is a kind of love that is not so. It's not sincere. It's not real. It's fake. It's phony. Now, when we look at love, fake love, I think it's easy for all of us in the room to spot phony love in other people. We know that they can be polite and nice on the surface, but when things get difficult, they disengage. When we share our struggles with them, their eyes glaze over and they withdraw from us. So it's easy to spot this kind of love in other people, this fake love. But what about in ourselves? Can we spot when our love is not sincere? You know, the Secret Service, many of you may not know this, it was formed back in the Civil War. It was formed to spot counterfeit money. And that's because the Confederates were flooding the market. They were printing fake money. And so how did the Secret Service go about spotting the fake thing? They went about it by studying the real thing. They felt the paper, and they knew the feel of the paper. They knew the different features of the bills. In our present day, we have color fibers in the paper and watermarks and things like that. And so they study the genuine article so that they can spot the fake thing. And in these verses, 9 through 13, we're studying the real thing. We're studying the real deal, love. What does it look like so that we can spot whether we have genuine love in our own hearts? Now, if you've paid attention to this passage and we're counting the number, there's about 30 exhortations in here. So if we take about 3 minutes per exhortation, it's 90 minutes, an hour and a half. Who wants to be here for another hour and a half listening to me talk? There's always one in the audience. Thank you. God bless you. There's two. I don't want to be here. I can't listen to myself for 90 minutes, and I know you guys can't either. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a flyover, and I'm going to kind of give you an overview of three categories, three features of genuine love. Here are the three features. Genuine love is discerning. Genuine love is committed. Genuine love is enduring. Discerning, committed, enduring. Let's look at genuine love is discerning. In verse 9, it says, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. It sounds a little bit like a contradiction. He says, love, let your love be genuine, hate. And what he's saying there is we've got to discern. We've got to discern. Genuine love has a discerning quality to it. Now, if you're a parent here this morning, hopefully you understand a little bit about what it means to have a discerning type of love, because you're not going to allow your kid to eat infinite amounts of candy because it's harmful for them. You're not going to let them sit in front of the TV 24/7. Why? Because it's harmful for them. You're not going to let them hit their brothers and sisters and lie, cheat, and steal and do all sorts of things like that. Why? You're discerning. And you're saying it's harmful for them. It's harmful for other people. It's not loving. You know, if you're not discerning in your parenting, you're actually not loving your kids. You are hating them, is what the Bible says. In Proverbs 13:24, it captures this idea that we actually hate our kids when we don't discipline them. And then in Hebrews chapter 12, we learn that our Father, our gracious Heavenly Father, what does He do? He disciplines those sons He loves. And so genuine love is a love that is discerning. It speaks the truth. It confronts the situation. Let me give you one other example of this. You may have, for example, a Christian friend, and you know that they are consistently, Sunday after Sunday, opting into playing video games and watching Netflix instead of coming to church. Or they're stuck. They're trapped in an addiction. Genuine love moves towards that person and engages. It speaks the truth in love, with grace and love. It's the kind of love that says, you know, I love you so much, I can't sit by and let you do that to yourself. Genuine love is a discerning type of love. It's also a committed type of love. Look with me at verses 10 and 11. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. You see, what we have here in these verses is a genuine love that is a committed love, like you are in a family. Like you're in a family, and in a family that is healthy is expressing this affectionate love for one another. It's showing honor to one another. And so when we show committed love, we engage not only our head and our whole being, but we engage our emotions as well. That's what you see in this verse. Do not be slothful in zeal. That word zeal means to be eager. To be eager, to be zealous, to be fervent. So it has a dimension that speaks to our emotions as well. You know, I was blessed to grow up in a very large family. We have oodles and oodles of cousins and aunts and uncles. And I remember all of these gatherings that we would have on the holidays. And we would love to go to these events. We just love being together. And I know for many of you out there, this idea of family can be a painful thing, can be something that brings a lot of hurt. And what I'm trying to show you here is a picture of a healthy family, a picture of what the church of God should be. It should be a family in which there's a strong commitment, the expression of our affections, deep affections for one another, outdoing one another in showing honor. You know, one of the things about this, I wonder if this is just part of Asian culture. When I was growing up, we would go out as a huge family to, you know, invade a restaurant and have a nice meal there. One of the things I observed as a young kid was this fight for the bill. Man, it got pretty vicious. I mean, you know, just outdoing one another, one-upping one another to try to get the bill, to try to intercept it before it even got to the table, to get up and go and find the waiter and try to get the bill. I observed my family trying to outdo one another in order to show honor, to bless the rest of the family. That's the picture that we have here of a committed type of love, affection, eagerly outdoing one another, fervent in our hearts. And then the third feature I want to show you, genuine love is an enduring type of love. Verse 12, it's enduring especially when things go wrong, when things go wrong. How do we know if our love is real? When things are going well for us, well, it's hard to spot. But when things go sideways, then our love, then the character and the nature of our love is going to be stressed. It's going to be tested. Because in those circumstances, the question is, are we going to lean in and remain committed? Or are we going to check out? Is our love genuine? Note that word, patient, hypomena. Hypomena. It has this idea of enduring. That's why I chose that word, enduring. Genuine love is enduring. It's patient. It bears up when things go wrong. And look closely at verse 12. You'll see this idea of endurance sandwiched between this idea of rejoicing in hope and constant in prayer. And so does that characterize the way you are when things go sideways? Can you bear up when things are going bad? Are you optimistically hopeful? Is there joy in your heart at this opportunity? Are you looking to God, depending on God in that moment in prayer? I know when things go wrong for me, I'm many times just the opposite. Many times just the opposite. For me, when I've read this verse and I've considered this verse this last week, it's really struck me in the heart. It's really struck me in the heart. The last several weeks on our teaching fellowship, we've had a course taught by the Robins. It's called The Art of Marriage, and Debbie's been attending that, and on our weekly dates, we've been discussing some of those questions that have been coming up in that class. One of those questions is, how do you deal with conflict? What is your go-to when things go sideways, when things go wrong? And we both answered it for ourselves, and for me, as I thought about it, is my go-to is not genuine love. My go-to is to disengage, not to bear up, not to be patient, not to be optimistic and joyful. And yes, it takes me a long time to reach out to God and say, God, I need help with this. I need help with this. This is really hard. Genuine love, it is discerning, it is committed, it is enduring. How are we doing with those things? How are we doing with those things? Are you able to spot genuine love in your heart for your friends? And now it's about to get a little bit harder as we look at genuine love, loving our enemies in verses 14 through 21. Now, in this part of the passage, the central idea here is that of maintaining peace, harmony with our enemies. Verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. You know, our natural tendency when we are persecuted, when we have an enemy, is just the opposite of this. Just the opposite. We want to curse them. The passage talks about this. We want to curse them. We want to pay them back. We want to retaliate. We want vengeance. We want them to feel a little bit of the pain and the suffering that we have felt. And our scripture here this morning is encouraging us, bless those who curse you. Not only that, go the extra mile. See what they're going through. See what they're going through and put yourself in their shoes. And when they are happy, rejoice. And when they are sad, weep. And see their situation. If they are in need, lean towards them and not away. Lean towards them. Give them something to drink. Give them something to eat if they are hungry, is what our scripture says. I don't know about you. When I read these words, I know that I'm just the opposite. You know, back to my family, when we were young and we had these oodles and oodles of cousins, during the summers, we would spend a couple weeks at each other's house, sleeping over and playing and doing all the things that kids do. And somebody, I don't know who, got the crazy idea that at night, we would play pranks on one another. We play pranks. And it started out really innocently, right? And one of the cousins, I remember, we tied a bat to his leg while he was asleep. And he would wake up and he would find this object attached to him. And then we would ratchet it up a little bit more than that. We would put his hand in a warm jar of water. And I mean, why would you do that? Well, the theory was if you did that, they would go to the bathroom right on the spot. So we tested out this theory at night while they were asleep, and sure enough, it didn't work. Could get it to work. Night after night, when things were happening to you, you would scheme in your head, what am I gonna do? So what did we do? We started writing with magic markers on each other's hands and legs. And then the next night it went even further. We would write with magic markers on their faces. And then finally, it just got out of control, the retaliation. One of our cousins, I remember this vividly, he had a cut on his foot. And so we decided one night that we were going to help disinfect that cut while he was asleep. And so we poured alcohol on his toe. And I remember he's like asleep, and he's going like this to his foot. It was just the funniest thing ever, right? Yeah, I didn't do that. That wasn't me. But, you know, it's built in. It's hardwired in us to retaliate, to one-up the other person. And the question for you this morning, as you hear this story, who in your life are you having a hard time with? Who has hurt you? Who's that person maybe who, maybe they haven't hurt you, it's just they've annoyed you. And maybe it's not someone personal. Maybe it's a public figure or a politician or a group of people. They're just, you can't stand them. They get on your nerves. Or maybe it's simply that person on the highway that's driving way too slow in the left-hand lane, or the person who just cut you off. How are our hearts towards those sorts of people? Are we seeking to do them good? Are we seeking to minister to them? Are we seeking to bless them? Are we rejoicing when they rejoice, weeping when they weep? What would it look like not to curse them? You know, if Christians, we don't curse people aloud, but we curse them in our heart. Or when we're alone in the car, then we curse them aloud, right? No one's there to hear us. What would it look like to bless those who persecute us? To say a prayer, to call out to God for them. God, I don't know why they just did that, what kind of day they're having. Would you meet them in their moment with grace, with love, with comfort, with forgiveness? What would it look like to find a way to do something good to them? To have eyes on them and meet their need, actually. That's what it says in verse 20. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. You know, we can't do all of these things if we think somehow we are better than them. That's the point of verse 16. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in our own sight. That's what's going on in my head as I'm going down the highway and people are cutting me off. I'm reciting all the rules of the road in my head, and I'm thinking they can't do that. They shouldn't do that. We can't move towards them in love, in genuine love, if we think that we are better than them. Well, if you're still with me, if you're listening to all these things, how are you doing? Are you able to spot the genuine thing in your heart? And if you're like me, you realize you don't measure up. You know, I look at myself and I think, man, well, there's a few times I can spot genuine love in my heart, but there's a whole lot of that other fake, phony, superficial love. This is hard. So how do we do it? How do we do it? How do we lean towards people with genuine love? You see, we can't genuinely love others until we've experienced it for ourselves, until we've received it ourselves. And science is even confirming that with babies. When we love them well, and we hold them, when we embrace them, they develop secure attachments. They're able to love others. But when a baby is not loved, its world is shattered. Its heart is not secured and has difficulty moving towards others in love. And so we need our hearts secured by a genuine love. And isn't that what Jesus has done for us? You see, we were his enemies, and he didn't retaliate against us. He didn't punish us. He didn't one-up us. No, on the cross, he stretches out his arms in love, genuine love, taking the retaliation, taking the punishment that we deserve, being cursed so that we can be blessed, and blessing those who are crucifying him. Father, forgive them. Being abandoned by his own family, his father, so that what? So that we could be brought into this loving family, seeing our needs and going and meeting us at that place. And Jesus especially is committed to us when things go wrong, when things go sideways, when we break our relationship with our Lord, when we sin against him, when we wander far away from him, when we think there is no way back, he is totally committed to us when things go sideways. He always has his arms open, the gentle and lowly Savior, beckoning us back to him. And so how do we have this genuine type of love? Well, we need to be loved first. That's what Scripture says in 1 John 4:19. We love, why? Because he first loved us. And because he embraces us with this genuine love, it secures our hearts. And we see what genuine love looks like, and it empowers us to love both our friends, but also our enemies. Would you pray with me? Oh God, what kind of love is this? A love that loves their enemies. And Father, this is an otherworldly love as we consider it this morning. And we who are in Christ Jesus are the recipients of an extravagant love, a genuine love. Lord, we thank you for that this morning. And we pray, Lord, that you would empower our hearts, that you would transform and shape our hearts into these kinds of people who can not only genuinely love our friends, but take those steps to genuinely love those who have hurt us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.